You may be seated. I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas. We certainly did. We spent some extended time with the Irresistibles. That's what we call our grandkids, the Irresistibles, like the Untouchables, only they're also the Returnables. And so that makes them the Enjoyables. And so we're happy to be in a new year with you. This morning we're starting a new series called Liberty and Love. We do this every January. We talk about liberty and love. And what we're referring to specifically is the fact that God has given us eternal life. And He's given us eternal favor. And there are no strings attached. It's not like He's given it to us with conditions. It is unconditional. We have been freed. We've been pardoned. We have been promoted. We belong to the Most High God because of what Jesus Christ did for us. We have been born again to a new life, a whole new existence. We are new creatures in Christ. There is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus who said yes to Him. The righteous requirements of the law have been fully met in us. There is no obstacle. There's, as the old song says, there's nothing between the Lord and us. And that's our status. Our destiny is heaven. Our names are written in the book of life. Nothing can change that. Biblically speaking, it's a done deal. And the only thing that has to happen now is time has to elapse before we see what we are living today. We have eternal life right now because he who hears my word, Jesus said, and believes in him who sent me, has eternal life, present tense, and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. In 1 John it says, and this is the witness, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. And if you've been following me or listening to me for a long time, you know that whenever I share that verse, I share the example of what is he talking about there in 1 John when he says, if you have the Son, you have life. It says, eternal life, this is eternal life, is in the Son. Let's say this is the Son. Eternal life is in the Son. If you have the Son, you have eternal life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have eternal life. He who has the Son, because life is in the Son, he has eternal life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have eternal life. There's no guessing. There's no hoping. There's no equivocating. There's no praying that somehow I might make it one day. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, don't have life. How do I know whether I have the Son? John 1, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. All he needs from us is a yes. I recognize that you paid the price for me. And I say yes to that payment. I appropriate that to myself. I say, you are my Lord and Savior. You died for me. I receive your gift with gratitude. That's our job, is to receive what he has done. Once we have done that, then we are set. Literally set for life. Many people are trying to hit the lottery because they want to be set for life. Did anybody hit the lottery, by the way? Not yet. The exhilaration of playing the lottery, I don't play the lottery, and I'm not hating on anybody who does. I'm not saying that it's sinful for you to do that. But I might have bought one lottery ticket in my entire life. but others have not been quite as restrained. And that's between you and God. But the reason, the reason why the lottery is enticing is because if we just hit it, we'd be set for life, right? The common thing is, well, I just live off the interest, you know? That's the common thing. Of course, in order to make God more amenable to giving it to us, we say, I'll give half of it to the church, Lord. And, you know, that raises your chances of winning significantly. But our excitement about that is because we want to be set for life. But you are set for life. You are set not only for this life, but for the life to come. You see, the lottery only sets you up for this life. Maybe. But it brings with it a lot of other stuff that you don't want, that messes with the life that you have. But Jesus said that he who has my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. So what do we do with that? That's what this month is about. If there are no strings attached, if I've already got it made, if there is no condemnation, if I am forgiven, if, as it says in 1 John, the blood of Jesus constantly washes me of my sins, then what is there left to do? And why should I do anything? You see, the counter to this amazing gift that we've been given, the objection that is most often raised by people who cannot trust, cannot bring themselves to trust that putting their faith in Christ is enough. The objection that is raised is, well, if that's the case, then I can just go out and do whatever I want to do, if what you're saying is true. And what we're looking at this month is, yes, that is true, but no, that is false. And we're going to see why it is true and why it is false. And we're starting this morning with this message, which we're titling, Living Freely, Living Generously. That's this morning's message. It's titled, Living Freely, Living Generously. And I'd like you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. You know, the short answer, while you're turning to Ephesians 1, the short answer to that question is the Lord turns us on to something far more glorious to what we've seen. He turns us on to something far more glorious than to what we've been, where we've been. But I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and look at verses 3 through 8. We're going to read that. I'm going to read that, and you can read along silently. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us. Thank you, Jesus. He chose us. We did not choose him. He chose us. In him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Amen. You know, this morning's message is, it's more of a vision than it is a how-to or a to-do. So if you take it in that spirit, you'll get the flavor of what I'm trying to communicate this morning. Think of this as a heavenly vision from the scriptures that inspires us to places beyond where we are. And the main idea that I want you to take away from this is, and it's a question, may I trust you, Lord? May I trust you, Lord, to live out my freedom this year with lavish generosity? It's a question. It's also a prayer. May I trust you, Lord, to live out my freedom this year with lavish generosity. As I said, you'll note here that the main idea is a prayer. It's an inspiration. It's an aspiration. What I am trusting the Lord to do for me, and what I'm hoping that he will do for you, and what I'm hoping he will use this morning's message to assist him as he does this with you, is to give you an aspiration, and you're not forcing it. I'm asking him to inspire you beyond forcing it. What I have to say this morning is intended to be fuel for your inspiration. And in other words, I want the Lord to use me by his spirit to affect your want to. Not pride your have to, your better, or your ought to. I am asking that the Lord would spur and inspire and stimulate your want to. So to that end, I want to take a look at several of the phrases that are in this passage that we just looked at. In verse 3, and if you're taking notes, you can just write down these verse references as your points, if you will. If you want your 3 points or your 4 points, just write down the verse references and the phrases that I'm going to develop from the passage. Verse 3, every spiritual blessing. It says we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. And it says we have been blessed, so it's past tense. He's given it to us. It's already ours. Every spiritual blessing is already ours. It says God has given us every spiritual blessing. Our task is to recognize it, to receive it, and to respond to it. He's already given us every spiritual blessing. And the walk of faith, when we talk about walking by faith and trusting the Lord, it's about this process of walking with him in relationship in such a way that he is able to open our eyes more fully and open our hearts and open our spirits more fully to recognize and to receive and to respond to the spiritual blessings that he has poured out on us that we already have in him. Am I up enough? Okay. I feel like I'm straining. So what are some of these spiritual blessings? You're forgiven. Forgiveness of sins. You don't have to worry about your sins anymore. Wait a minute, are you sure, Pastor? We talked about it. I just shared with you all the verses as to why. You are forgiven. You don't just get forgiveness when you go to God and ask for it. You are a forgiven person. You are a new creature. The blood of Jesus covers you. You are immutably saved by faith in him. Your sins and lawless deeds, he himself has said, I will remember no more. I am forgiven. There was a time in my life when I thought forgiveness was conditional. It was conditional and it was dependent upon whether or not I was really, really sorry for having done it. And it was dependent upon my promise that I wouldn't do it again. Even though I couldn't keep that promise. But thank God, because of Jesus Christ, I am a, and you are, a forgiven person. You can wake up each morning and look at what it says in Ephesians 1. You are holy and blameless before Him. I mean, I could go on with many, many other verses throughout the Scripture that make this point. But that's one of the spiritual blessings that we're enjoying right now, is forgiveness of sins. Another one of these blessings is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Living inside of each person who has said yes to Jesus Christ is God Himself by His Holy Spirit. The presence of the living God is with you and in you forever, Jesus said. The Holy Spirit doesn't just come into our gathering place and hover about us while we're gathered here, and then when we leave, He dissipates and comes back like a cloud, like the Sinai experience. When Moses went up on the mountain of Mount Sinai, the cloud covered the top, and it was a frightful sight. It was an awesome spectacle. But when Moses left, the cloud went away. And sometimes the cloud would just hover there. Well, that cloud is in you. That awesome cloud now lives in you. Sometimes I sit down. I'm telling you, sometimes I just sit down. I shake my head. I do. I sit on my couch. I look out the window. I drink my coffee. And I say, Lord, that is just unbelievable. That's enough. The idea that you live inside of me and that you're there forever and that you are benevolently and lovingly inside of me, not judgmentally, not condemning, not with condemnation, but you are lovingly present in me at all times. You are always with me and always for me. You're the one who opens my eyes. Well, I'm going to go on. The presence of the Holy Spirit is one of these spiritual blessings. Spiritual insight and understanding is another one. A way of processing our lives with His truth. Spiritual insight. That we're not just flailing away, that God has given us, by the Holy Spirit, a way of processing life with His truth. We're not stumbling around in darkness. He tells us how to frame things, how to think of things, how to position things in our understanding so that we have peace. Security is another one. Security in the midst of insecure circumstances. Scripture says it's a peace that surpasses all understanding. Our own resident poet, Brother Jim, calls it strange all rightness. I can see him with a tam on his head saying that it's a strange all rightness. But we know what he's talking about. That is a spiritual blessing from on high. Another one is just the promise for provision for all of our needs. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. I've had a lot of wants. but I've had few needs. God has taken care of me. He's taken care of you. He hasn't always given us everything that we've wanted when we wanted it, but he has supplied our needs. And the promise here is that he's going to always do that. And you know, I could go on and on and on as we sang. I could go on and on and on and on about your works. So many of them, the scripture calls them in Ephesians later on, Paul calls them the unsearchable riches of Christ. Every spiritual blessing we've been given, we're loaded. You're loaded. Through our daily circumstances, and our relationships, the Holy Spirit continues to coach us in living from the inside out instead of trying to live from the outside in. He's coaching us to treasure those unsearchable riches, to recognize them, to receive them, to respond to them, because they have real life value. They affect the quality of the life that we're living down here. And the Lord says, if you want to enjoy your life to the full, embrace the treasures that I've given you. You see, that's where the true riches rest. And it's just so God for him to bury them in Christ. As the scripture says, they're hidden in Christ. And so those riches, those unsearchable riches, those treasures are hidden in him. And the more we discover him, the more we discover those riches. And the more we discover those riches, the more they change the way we see our lives. The way that we experience our lives. It's not about, brothers and sisters, what's happening to us out there. I know that that's how it looks, and I know that's how it feels sometimes, and God is aware that we are but dust. Yes. But it really is not about trying to control what's happening out there. It's really not about trying to secure what's happening out there, because you can't. We were talking about the lottery. The lottery does not secure anybody's life. It can't. But the hunger for it is because of the deception that it can somehow. We want that sense of security. We want it. And God knows it. He placed insecurity in our hearts. And he placed the insecurity there so that we would look to him and receive what is true. Security. And that's the only place it is. You know, I was telling the Lord the other day, Lord, you know, my home is my habitation, but you are my dwelling place. You see, because if the home goes away, I still have a place to dwell. See, this is the kind of security the Lord wants to build in us through these treasures. As we realize them, internalize them, and appropriate them, it leads to what's called trust. And when we are in a place of trust, we are like the mountains surrounding Jerusalem. We cannot be moved. So we're loaded. And verse 6, it says that these riches were freely given to us. I really like that. No one twisted God's arm to do this. No one could twist God's arm. No one forced God to do this. He did it freely. You know how it is when you buy somebody a gift and you know that they're going to love it. And you can't wait for them to open it. You're more excited about giving them the gift than they are about receiving it. And you just can't wait to see the look on their face when they open it up and see that thing. Well, that's how the Lord was with what he has given us in Christ. He couldn't wait to see the look on our faces, and he can't wait to see the look on our faces as we continue to discover the gift, because that's what this is about. It's about ongoing discovery of these gifts that are ours. Because we may be familiar with their titles and their labels, and we may have sampled them, but they are so much deeper, each of them, so much deeper than what we've experienced. And the Lord wants to enrich us and take us further into the joy of these gifts. Nobody made Jesus die on the cross. He said, I lay down my life. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own free will, and I take it up again. And it was the Father's will that Jesus die on the cross. And the Father sent the Son to the earth to die for the sins of mankind. And Jesus asked the Father if there was a way out, and he said, if there's any way, Lord, let this cup pass from me, Father. And yet at the same time, Jesus knew that if he simply said to his Father, I'm done, I don't want to go through with it, the Father would have sent legions of angels to rescue him. He knew that. So it was his choice all the way to the very end. It was the Father's will, but it was Jesus' choice. And he couldn't wait to see the look on our faces as we began to realize and discover what it is that he's given us. And he wants those eternal blessings to be part of our earthly human experience. In verse 8, it says he lavished these things on us. He freely gave it to us. And then in verse 8, it says he lavished this on us. I mean, he could have made it so that all we got was a ticket to heaven. That was it. He could have said, okay, this is what you get out of the deal. You get to go to heaven. And that would have been enough. I mean, if that was all that he gave us, that was a lot more than we deserved. But he could have said, okay, I'm going to come to earth and I'm going to die for you. And I'm going to pay for your sins. And then when you die, you're going to come to heaven. There wouldn't have been anything wrong with that. But he did so much more. It says he lavished upon us every spiritual blessing. What a generous God we have. What a glorious God we have. I want you to imagine a bright and cheerful young lady with an easy smile, warm, friendly, humorous, attractive. One of the first people that I was privileged to pastor many years ago. And she got married with all kinds of promise and hope. And a few years later, the marriage went sour and she went through a very, very painful divorce. Her demeanor began to change. Her attitude began to change. Her perspective began to change. That spiritual vibrancy that I had seen and known began to change. She became sour. And I got a letter from her, and I'll just read just a portion of it. She said, Pastor Dan, would you shoot up a prayer for me? She said, in 2008, I was part of a church that ripped me to shreds. God uses it to teach, I know, and I don't want to sink into full cynicism. Pray for me. Some mornings I wake up and remember it all, and it's just painful. Please pray for strength to look to the positive and whatever God wants. The reason why I'm sharing this in the context of spiritual riches is because I know the God she knows, and I know that he is able to sustain her even in this. And I know that he is able to take this curse and turn it into a blessing. And I am convinced that he is able to take this dreadful situation and turn this dear sister into a being that she is going to marvel at when she looks in the mirror. She thought that she was something before. Wait until the Lord is done using this in her life the way he wants to and the way I am praying that he would. The reason I know that is because he did that to me. Oh, I was a crackerjack of a young believer, and everything was positive and happy, 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 and hallelujah, praise the Lord, you know Jesus. And then life came calling. And you know why? Like the Lord said to Peter, you know, when you're young, you're going to go wherever you want to go. But the day is coming when life is going to take you where you don't want to go. Life came along, grabbed me by the arm, and took me someplace I didn't want to go. And my understanding of the riches of Christ began to change. You see, it became, instead of just all of my becauses that I'm praising the Lord for, because you did this, because you did that, he changed it so that I was able to praise him with my despites. Despite this and despite that and despite this and that, I praise you and I see you and I recognize you and I thank you for what you are doing in me through this. And my trust and my faith and my understanding of our God went from a cartoon and a comic book and a sketch to a full-blown portrait of the Most High God that he continues to develop. That's part of those riches. I'm not worried about her. I am concerned, as I said to my dear sister over here, Shadira. I'm concerned because I know what the evil one can do with difficulty. But I am also heartened and encouraged and inspired because I know what God can do. I want a lavish response, Lord. You lavished it on me. I want to have a lavish response like Zacchaeus in Luke 19 as he began to recognize from the very beginning when he recognized what Jesus was offering, gave up half his possessions. Said, Lord, if I've stolen anything from anybody, I'll give it all up. I'll give it all up, half of it, all of it. And like this, 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did so not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. Extreme poverty leading to rich generosity. They were in a hurting place, but they were generous. They were lavish. God, may we have a lavish and generous response this year as we live freely in you. Would you make that happen in us, Lord? Or the father running to his son who was returning home in shame and expecting very little, if anything, from his father, only to receive more than he imagined. A lavish response. A lavish response. Generous response. Song says, you can't beat God giving. A generous man will prosper. Proverbs 11:25. So this is a new take on living large. Living large of heart, not of stuff. As Thomas Merton wrote, the biggest human temptation is to settle for too little. You know, Laverne lets me drive her car every once in a while. I always tease her about her car. Sometimes she'll let me drive it. Hers has all these fancy things on it, you know. So I always tease her. You know, she's got the, I mean, you know, she's got some of the, you know, I drive a 2009 Camry. And so, you know, that was before the little camera where you can see what's happening behind you. It's almost standard now in most cars, I guess. So I always tease Laverne. I say, I can see what's behind me, too, in my car. I can open the door and look out. She's got little seat warmers. I said, my seat warms up, too. I have so much fun with that. But whenever I take her car, I always fill it up.
Hey, that's right, man.
And I do that because I always, you know, my dad used to say, leave it better than you found it. So people feel good about even leaving you something or letting you use something or just because it's the right thing to do. Leave it better than you found it. And so I try to do that with her car. I try to do that with people too. Just people in general. Leave them better than you found them. If you want a kind of a practical to do with this lavish living, leave them better than you found them. Encourage them. You know, I was thinking about some of the expressions here in terms of what do we do if we want to live lavishly? Live lavishly with your speech, generously, with your service, with forgiveness, with being attentive when people are talking to you, understanding when people are talking. Don't be so quick to pull the trigger. Ask questions for clarification. Don't speak until you have a clear picture. Validate the other person's perspective. Living lavishly is beyond not sinning. It's living a life that's rich and full-bodied with love for other people. I want to end by just reading the prayer of, it's commonly called the prayer of St. Francis. Although its author is really unknown, but it's been attributed to him. I think it's a masterful work of heart and very familiar to some of you, particularly if you're from a Catholic background, you've heard this quite a bit. But I think, again, it's a masterful work of heart. The words are inspiring. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me bring love. Where there's offense, let me bring pardon. Where there's discord, let me bring union. Where there's error, let me bring truth. Where there's doubt, let me bring faith. Where there's despair, let me bring hope. Where there's darkness, let me bring your light. Where there's sadness, let me bring joy. O Master, let me not seek as much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that one receives. It is in self-forgetting that one finds. It's in pardoning that one is pardoned. It is in dying that one is raised to eternal life. And what I have found to be true in my own experience is the more connected I am to Christ, the more freely and warmly His love flows through me, without me having to be so meticulous and preoccupied with all the specific expressions of it. I'm sensitive to Him, and I'm responsive to Him, and I draw from Him in whatever the situation may be. In other words, all these elements that 1 Corinthians 13 talks about, love is patient, love is kind, and in the prayer of St. Francis here, all these elements, I don't get up and pack my attaché case with each one in the morning when I'm about to go out. I don't say, you know, let's see, I better take some patience today. I might need that. And well, I probably should take some of this kindness, might need some of that. And oh, yeah, some of this balm here for envy. I better take some of that, too. Really, more of what I am doing is relying upon Him and responding to His givingness in any moment. Because every situation is different. And every person is different. And the Holy Spirit living inside of us, the riches of all riches, if we're responsive to Him, if we're listening and if we're attuned to Him in that given moment, He will bless us with what that person needs at the time. So, Lord, may I trust You to experience my freedom, to enjoy these lavish riches from You. May You bless me this year to recognize more fully what I have in You. Would You bless me this year, Lord, with greater fullness, greater acceptance of what You have provided for me in Christ. Let me not despise or disdain or diminish in any way any of these precious treasures. Let me be loaded. Let me know that I'm loaded. Let me walk around loaded. And let me live generously from my loaded place in You. Because that's what He came to do. He came freely, you have received. Freely give. And there is a relationship between the two. If we're not freely receiving, how can we freely give? So the assumption is freely receive. And then freely give. And that is my prayer for you. And that is how we're starting this series. And we're going to